Translation. The great sages headed by Sanaka had opened doors everywhere. They had no idea of ours and theirs. With open minds, they entered the seventh door out of their own will, just as they had passed through the six other doors, which were made of gold and diamonds. Purport. The great sages, namely Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, although very old in years, maintained themselves eternally as small children. They were not at all duplicitous, and they entered the doors exactly as little children enter places without any idea of what it is to trespass. That is a child's nature. A child can enter any place and no one checks him. Indeed, a child is generally welcome in his attempts to go to places, but if it so happens that a child is checked from entering a door, he naturally becomes very sorry and angry. That is the nature of a child. In this case, the same thing happened. The childlike saintly personalities entered all the six doors of the palace and no one checked them. Therefore, when they attempted to enter the seventh door and were forbidden by the doorman, who checked them with their sticks, they naturally became very angry and sorrowful. An ordinary child would cry, but these were not ordinary children. They immediately made preparations to punish the doorman, for the doorman had committed a great offense. Even to this day, a saintly person is never checked from entering anyone's door in India. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachalite Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskachari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse appears in a specific context of the Bhagavatam, and for those of our congregational members who are not coming every morning to the classes on this section of the Bhagavatam, I would just very briefly like to tell you the context in which this verse appears, so that you will be able to better understand it. The context is that the four Kumaras who had become attracted to Lord Vishnu wished to see them, and in order to see the Lord, they had to pass through different gates, which were secured, you could say. These gates were there so that not anyone who was not qualified could enter into the Sancto Sanctorum. We are reminded of Sri Ranga Kshetra, where also many, I believe, seven wars, Rasaraj Prabhu, am I correct? Seven wars are around the deity, and in older times you would have to pass through the Gopuram, the Dwaras, the gates, and finally were able then to see the Lord. No? So it is said that these great sages, the four Kumaras, they are of course known, and they had the bodies of small children. So in this way they were easily able to pass through all the dwaras, all the doors, except for the last one. And when they were forbidden at the last one to proceed any further, they made preparations to punish the doormen who were withholding them. This verse could be explained from many different perspectives, and with your permission I will choose one of the million perspectives in regards to a very important subject for us as devotees: the power of blessings which come from great souls. Great souls are able to cross through over obstacles which an ordinary soul can never hope to cross. There is an invisible circle around each one of us. It's the circle of his own limitations or her own limitations, which are there due to one's conditioned nature. Now, some one of us may be able to think so far, but his thinking power may not extend beyond this circle. Someone of us may be able to walk with a certain speed, but he cannot accelerate much more. Another one of us may be able to sing in a certain height, but when he has to sing higher, then there is some limitation, and it's not possible for him to go beyond this invisible circle which our conditioned nature has drawn around us. So the great saints are able to, they don't have these limitations, and they can go through open doors into other realms of capabilities. Now, the very interesting thing for us is that these great saints can help us by their blessing to cross our own limitations and become instruments in the divine plan of the Lord, if we connect with these great personalities. The power of blessing is extraordinary, and I would like to go with you through a few examples in order to convince you that in spiritual life, it is sometimes more important to obtain blessings than to rely on one's own abilities, which we have. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Matya Lila, in case you would like to read it in its in the context, it's in the chapter 22nd, verse 51, and it says, unless one receives the blessings of a great devotee, no act can be devotion. One cannot attain Krishna without the blessings of such a great devotee, and one cannot even attain liberation without these blessings. A good example which brings forth the principle of the power of blessings is found in the Mahabharata at the beginning of the great battle in Kurukshetra. Please come with me to the battlefield. We will see the two armies posed opposite to each other, ready for the war. At this moment, Yudhishthira takes away his armor and puts the armor down. Bhim Sen is totally upset. What is my brother doing? Most probably, he will now again beg for peace or peaceful solution. I'm burning with the desire to take revenge. Oh, Yudhishthira, oh, Dharmaraj. But Yudhishthira walks over the battlefield. Arjuna is also perplexed, not knowing what is in the mind of Yudhishthira at this moment. Why, before this battle, which was planned and which was clearly unavoidable, why now again he's not going to fight? Seething with frustration, the two follow their older brother in some distance. After all, he's the older brother and the king who is to be followed by the codes of Dharma. Yudhishthira walks alone, a lonely figure between the two armies, and approaches Grandfather Bhishma. He falls down on the ground and says, Pitamaha, I have come to seek your blessings to engage in battle with you. Oh, says Bhishma, you have done the right thing. If you would not have come, you would not be able to win this battle. Yudhishthira is not yet satisfied. He has the blessings to fight with Bhishma, but he wants another blessing. Pitamaha, I have another blessing to ask you. Yes, yes, ask. Pitamaha, as long as you are fighting, there is no chance for the Pandavas to win this battle. Give us the blessing that we may kill you. Very good, very good, says Grandfather Bhishma. If you would not have asked for this blessing, it would have been impossible for the Pandavas to gain victory in this great confrontation. Yudhishthira bows down with tears in his eyes. He is well aware he has asked something of his grandfather, which is unusual to speak. Then he goes to Dronacharya and Kripacharya to also seek their blessings. After all, they are his martial gurus, his martial arts guru or fighting gurus, whatever is the right word, and they also give him the blessings and due. Finally, we all know Yudhishthira is victorious. Now, blessings must be seeked. We must seek our blessings from our superiors. We must also seek blessings from Brahmanas in order to become successful in our endeavors. And we must especially seek for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. My dear devotees, as we live in an institution which has very great, preaching goals. Here you want to bring heaven down on earth. It says like this when I entered your temple, heaven on earth. That is an impossible thing. It will become possible if you learn to obtain the blessings from all types of blessings. The blessings of the deities, the blessings of our superiors, but also the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And with the Vaishnavas, I mean all the Vaishnavas. Not just those who carry a danda with them and who come for one day and who are or 1 week or 2 weeks and then they are busy preaching somewhere else. No, all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how important it is to seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas. There is even a story in the Mahabharata which I would like to briefly tell you. It was during the great Rajasuya sacrifice. At the end of the sacrifice, which was to install Yudhishthira after the battle of Kurukshetra as the rightful king, everyone looked towards that one bell, expecting it to ring. When a sacrifice is successful, the bell is supposed to ring on its own accord. In other words, no human hand or no wind or breeze or whatever moves the bell. It is ringing by the success of the yagya. Most probably the devatas are involved in this. So, Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, after having completed the sacrifice, looked towards the bell, but the bell was not ringing. They asked Krishna, did something go wrong? Krishna said, no, not exactly wrong, but you have not you have not satisfied the Vaishnava. You must now bring a Vaishnava and feed him. Draupadi should cook. So Bhimasena was entrusted to find a Vaishnava, and he finally found a very humble Vaishnava who was really eating very little food only. And he brought him, and they requested him to sit down. Draupadi brought the plate, and the Vaishnava, humble Vaishnava, ate. When the sound came of satisfaction, everyone looked towards the bell. But again, the bell was not ringing. Pandavas turned to Krishna. What went wrong this time? Krishna said, someone here made an offense against this Vaishnava. Who made an offense? We all felt very happy that he is here. Yes, said Krishna, you all felt happy except for Draupadi. Draupadi looked down. And it was a fact. She felt resentment against this devotee because the devotee was a simple Vaishnava. He had taken all the, how do we say this little boards? Katoris. Had put them down and had mixed the food. in Draupadi thought, I cooked such a good meal and this uncultured person is just mixing it and munching it together in one big mix, and felt some resentment. Oh, what is to be done? Krishna said, you have to bring the Vaishnava again and feed him a second time without offense. So with great, and it must have been difficult for Bhimsen to convince the Vaishnava who had just eaten a meal which he most probably had not eaten in half a year. It was Draupadi had cooked. It was not just some chapatis and a little chili sabji. It was really something. So anyways, they somehow could convince that Vaishnava, who was already full, to quickly eat the second time, and then the sound came, and then cling, cling, bing, 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 and the Vaishnava said, ah, the sacrifice was successful. My dear devotees, in the context of this beautiful temple, I will now say something which will remain in your memory for quite some time. But because I'm only here for one day, I can say it speak strongly. I will speak politely, strongly, don't worry. We have to learn, when we are all together with so many different individuals who also share different views on Krishna consciousness, as individuals do, and who are different personalities, to respect each other and seek each other's blessings. This is important. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a point that Vaishnava Seva, seeking the blessings of the Vaishnavas, is something which you cannot replace with other activities. In other words, you have to do this, and you cannot escape this. He said that when a Vaishnava does not respect other Vaishnavas and he thinks, I will take a bath in the Ganga, then the bath in the Ganga will turn against the Vaishnava who has disrespected other Vaishnavas. The last time I met our saintly Braj Hari was when both of us were this deep in the Ganga. We were there, it was noontime, and we were in the association of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, who is a great lover of Mother Ganga, and we were happily greeting each other, full of devotional excitement, because we felt, I think Braj Hari, you can confirm this, we felt the great blessings of Mother Ganga coming our way, filling our heart with Krishna consciousness and the willingness, the surrender, and devotional thoughts were crowding our mind. But if a person takes a bath in Mother Ganga and disrespects Vaishnavas, in other words, does the opposite to seeking their blessings, that power which you can get from a bona fide Ganga snan will turn against him. Lord Chaitanya even said that if you don't seek the blessings of Vaishnavas and disrespect them, that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is the main sadhana in our line, will also turn against you. In other words, you cannot say, okay, let me leave this point of respecting Vaishnavas and I will do everything else. I will take a bath and I will take three baths in the Ganga, or I will chant extra rounds. My dear devotees, you have to seek the blessings of Vaishnavas. The immediate question which comes up in a context, in an ashram context, is what, Maharaj, is to be done when there is quarrel between Vaishnavas, when there is quarrel in an ashram? Somehow or other, quarrel will happen because we live in the age of Kali, and Kali is just pressurizing the atmosphere. And then when there are two individual perspectives, then there is some uneasy feeling, and from there it continues, and you know what I'm talking about. But when this happens, we must be willing to do everything so that the relationships can become normal and we can cooperate for the service of the deity. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that heard that two brahmacharis were quarreling in the ashram, he had a very interesting method. He called these brahmacharis in his presence and he demanded that they would say something good about the others. Praise, in other words, one quality of the other. You know, and we can imagine one of these sessions went like this: two hot-headed brahmacharis who had just quarreled about, you stole my prasadam. No, you stole, and you know, with very hot feelings, they had to praise each other. So one brahmachari would most probably start like, I appreciate that you sleep in the temple. This is very good. The other would say, I appreciate that at least you eat prasadam. And in this way, they would try to find some good quality in the other person. But then from praising one, seeing one good quality, you see another good quality. And if you see two good qualities, you will see a third quality. This is the magic of this exercise. Once you try to see negative points, a huge avalanche of negative points will come to your perception. Once you start to go in another road, that is, you start to try to see good qualities in another person, you will see an avalanche of good qualities. I was once at loggerhead with one devotee who saw things so entirely different from me. And we really had a very intense vibration between us. And I began to understand, this is not how we can live in Krishna consciousness. Krishna will give no blessings. The holy name will not have blessings. And I asked myself the question, do you want blessings or do you want your own right? And I decided to look for blessings. Then I tried to see there must be something good in this devotee, and it came to my mind that the devotee wants to do something which I also want. He wants to serve Prabhupada and he wants to please Prabhupada, and he feels a little bit threatened by my perspective and therefore is a little bit uneasy and even upset. But he is so because his underlying motive is very good. This is necessary for us in Krishna consciousness, to try to enter a perspective where we can respect devotees and seek their well wishes and blessings in our progress. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written a shloka where he has expressed himself in very humble terms. He had said, oh, my path is slippery and I fall from time to time. Now I wish to have support. I need the walking stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. How nicely he has put it. I need the walking stick. When I met Sura for the first time, we were both going to Kedarnath. There was so much rain. Braj Bihari was also there. So much rain was coming down. They were in raincoats and I did not recognize them to be devotees because they were drenched in rain. Their frames were almost blown away by the wind and the rain. But because they chanted and I chanted and we said Hare Krishna and Hare Krishna, oh a devotee, very good. And we sat down in some resting stop there, and we talked and we talked. And since that time I think of Suradas and Braj Hari as pilgrims on the same way as I am. Now if I would live in the temple, there would maybe be a problem when I cannot stop the kirtan or I cannot stop the lecture due to an overdose of enthusiasm, and they would have to say as managers, oh Maharaj, you must keep the times, otherwise the whole program is unsettled. And I think, oh, you are stopping me from kirtan, and there would be some little problem maybe arising. This happens when we want to serve and we have an intense nature. But let us not be childish that these little differences which are bound to happen in human society will make us disrespect Vaishnavas and will make us bring us in a position where we do not seek the blessings. This is childish and this is wrong and this is dangerous if we develop in this direction. And this will bring me to my last point, which I want to bring. But before this, I really want to ask you also the question. Dear Prabhus, what do you, and Matajis, what do you wish in your life? Do you want to have right that your own way of thinking is confirmed? Or do you want to have blessings? You get much further in your spiritual life by blessings than by your own right, which is, after all, only an question of interpretation according to your particular Atmavan Manjate Jagat, your particular outlook through your senses and the mind. Let us always keep these principles, spiritual principles of seeking blessings as a foundation of our spiritual life. And then we will, there is also a practical dimension that we have to discuss how things should be done, and we have to come to a unified understanding. And in the process we might have to discuss views and so on. That is natural. I'm not speaking against practicality and realism in a Vaishnava community. I'm speaking here of understanding principles. Blessings will always bring us further than our own endeavors and our own rights and visions of reality. This brings me to a last point, a point which I would like to introduce. We are living in Germany in a project called Goloka Dham, and hopefully you will all have the opportunity to visit us and have darshan of our very beautiful deities. Radha Rasa Bihari are not only staying in Mumbai, they are staying in Germany, only then they stay there as Radha Madan Mohan. So please come and visit your deities there. This I'm saying as an invitation. Anyways, there are many trees. We are in a forested area, in a nature protected area. And some of these trees are very high and they're suitable for chanting when it is rain. And I sit sometimes and chant my japa when I make when I come home from a lot of preaching endeavors, and I sit there, chant, and have books and read to just get a little bit the relief from the hard physical and mental endeavor in the sattvic atmosphere of a forest. And yes, and many of my old tree friends have died the past year. A wind came and the trees fell down, and I feel very sad because I've chanted under them, one of the particular tree for now 10 years, and when I came back he was on the ground, he had fallen down. And I thought for a long time about why are my friends falling down. Then I noted that the same thing happens to my human associates in the association of Vaishnavas. Devotees grow up, they are there for 3, 4, 5 years maybe, and then some dissatisfaction is there, and some attraction again to material energy, and then they become less active than they were. And the trees gave me the answer why this is so. See, when a tree grows and matures, he will develop a very weighty crown of the tree. It's called a tree crown. Do you know the upper branches? It has a lot of weight. And because of this weight, when the wind blows, the tree is more susceptible to falling down. The same way a human being, a devotee, when he joins the movement, there are visible signs of his advancement. He has no longer one dhoti but 2 dhotis. He gets very sweet and happy prasadam. I remember that some of us were not in the having this lifestyle. We live in a palace, this beautiful marble temple. There are visible signs. Maybe our belly starts protruding because there's a visible sign of very good first class prasadam and a very proper ghee. And we get positions. As we grow older, we get recognitions. Can't imagine how it is when you have a danda. You can't almost walk at the Mayapur festival because bang, bang, everyone pays his obeisances. Yes, before that I was a Mr. Nobody, a runaway from school. Now this has changed. Hare Krishna. So some heaviness, some things is there which are visible signs of growth. If the tree who develops a big tree crown does not, or let me speak it differently, if a devotee who develops these signs and opulences does not develop, I would call it invisible signs of maturity, then he will fall. What are these invisible signs of maturity? Well, we can go to our example with the tree. The tree, while it is growing in this direction, that is up, has to also grow in its depths. That means the roots cannot be shallow any longer. They have to go down deep into the earth, deep to the hidden, at least in Germany we have these hidden streams of water which go through the ground like little pipes. It has to access more water. The tree has to grow roots which can go deeper and give more stability to the tree. And these roots are not visible, only for a trained eye. A forestry expert, he can see. In the same way, if you become an older devotee, 3 years, 5 years, 4 years, 7, 8, 10, you have to become more deep in Krishna consciousness. And this is not something which anyone can see. You cannot show this around like you can show a title, Brahmachari, Ashram Leader, successful this person, successful that person. These are known only to Krishna and maybe some high class Vaishnava with whom you exchange questions and answers on deep spiritual matters. It's all right for young devotee to be new and maybe he's not so deep and he doesn't know anything, and his etiquette is a little bit flimsy, and a little he's easily upsettable. But if you grow, it is compulsory, so that you do not fall by all this growth which happens, that you become deeper in Krishna consciousness. Now, what does this mean to become deeper in practical terms? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained this. He has said that to advance in Krishna consciousness, three things or practices are possible. And please listen now very carefully, because it might be that the three processes will not only save your spiritual life, they might help you to become very strong in your spiritual life, very enthusiastic, very capable to do many things. The first thing is Shravana, hearing regularly the Bhagavad Katha, the mantra, your Diksha mantra. This is Shravanam, hearing. I don't have to talk about this, I believe, because you have heard many lectures. Let me only say so much. Hearing must be done with rapt attention. You have to learn to focus your mind on what you hear. And then comes the second stage after hearing. Shravanam, then comes Manaha. Manaha means to reflect, that to think it over in your own terms. I would like to give you some visual thing of this. If I just hear and do not practice Manaha, it goes like we say in German, es geht ins eine Ohr herein und es geht durch das andere Ohr heraus. I think you have understood. Yep. You are German scholars. For those who are not yet so familiar with the German language, goes in one ear, out the other. But if you do Manaha, reflecting, it goes in one ear, then it comes into your reflective process, which is almost like this book, and it will go into your heart. And anything which stays in your heart, which you have deeply understood, you have thought about it, you have maybe asked questions about it to clarify any unclarity, which any doubt even which you have, it becomes situated in the heart, not just in the mind. And the mind, it becomes situated in the spiritual heart. And it is a jewel which is there. Please, sometimes I have, or devotees have seen in our movement, we hear a lot, but do we reflect? Do we think on our own terms what this means for our life? Hare Krishna. This is a question for all of you to be answered in your own reflective process. The third very important process which will help you to grow deep roots is called in Upanishadic language Nididhyasana. It means to apply what you have heard and reflected about in your daily life. Then you get a realization. For instance, so, those of you who were in this class, if you wish to do this, you have heard something, then you would leave the class and you would think about the class, and we would think of blessings. Do I want blessings or do I want right? My own right? And you would think, how? What was the other point? It was about growth and maturing And the Swami said, he claimed that it can be dangerous if you have these external signs of appreciation, that is positions maybe, or people say thank you to you, and he said even you can fall easier. This is something new, I have not heard. But then he said, in order to avoid this, what was his point? Oh, I wish I would be more attentive in these lectures. What was his point? Oh yeah, he said something, Vishwanath Chakravarti. Anyways, this is always so complicated for me. But let me anyways try. What did he say? Yes, he said, I must hear regularly. And then he said, hearing is not enough. I must think about it. Acha. Oh, some new point. And then he said, I must act upon what I have heard. Acha. Let me try. Did I hear? Okay, I will read in this evening from the Srimad, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, a new book. And then think about it, and there it is said that Dainya, true humility, is a prerequisite for prema, and prema also brings true humility. Humility brings prema, and prema brings humility. Acha, tomorrow when I come into the temple and someone asks me to do a service, I will say, oh, Prabhu, thank you very much. And I will apply it. This is what it means. Let me ask you a question. Hearing, shravanam, reflecting, manaha, and nididhyasan, application. Is that enough to become deep? Baladev Vidyabhushana says, in commenting on this point, this is very good, but you also, if you are a Vaishnava, a devotee, you must pray Vandanam, so that you can become Krishna consciousness. This is very important. In the Upanishads you learn that by these three processes you can learn something. You must hear, you must reflect in your own terms, and you must practice it. This is also explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Baladev Vidyabhushana adds, you as a devotee, you must pray very regularly for blessings of Lord Krishna. Because ultimately, my dear devotees, it's not your own endeavors, even not your own endeavors in bhakti, like shravanam, manaha, and nididhyasana. It's always blessings which will carry you. Once you understand this point in depth, your spiritual life and your Krishna consciousness will move forward. Also, if you really understand this in your service, that means not only in the private circle of your own Krishna consciousness, but in your service, something which you do for Krishna, then you will really see that the advancement comes. Seek blessings. Become aware of blessings. Seek blessings like, how can I make advancement? Like, I was so happy when I saw Braj Bihari, of Braj Hari, and myself being in the Ganga. I felt such a strong bonding. We were there, and it was clear to us, we were there to get the blessing, to get the mercy. We didn't go for refreshment. Refreshment you can have from the shower in your room. But Ganga Mai is more present in the Ganga, especially on Gopunim Day. Especially on Gopunim Day, she waits to give blessings. Then when you go, why do we do Guru Puja every morning? To obtain the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. It is customary in traditional Indian society that the children will go in the morning, and the first thing they do I don't know if before the shower or after the shower, that you know better, but the first thing they do is they go to their parents or to their superiors or to their guru and they touch the feet. Isn't it? Do you know this? You are from here and so on. So we all go in the morning to the Guru Puja of Srila Prabhupada to seek his blessings. We glorify him and we seek his blessings for the day, for our day which is service. It's very important. Blessings are like the wind which brings your own little boat to the lotus feet of Krishna. What can you do on an ocean without any wind? You will be stranded. What can you do on the ocean of samsara without the powerful wind of blessings? You will be stranded. And seek blessings from especially our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our present spiritual masters, which we have. Then we go also to the deities, we request their blessings, and we go to the Brahmanas, and we go to all Vaishnavas, and in their own respective way, according to the certain levels which are there, we seek blessings in slightly different ways. But we want the blessings so that we can move on, and also that we can finally grow our roots deep into the earth of Krishna consciousness, so that we will not be thwarted from the path of our real interest of becoming Krishna conscious and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Thank you very much. I hope I have said something which has given you some food of thought, which has given you some inspiration and some nourishment. Thank you very much. I'm very, very impressed by this temple. Prabhus, you don't know. You live every day in this temple, but this temple is simply the spiritual world. One goes here, and then one hears the horn, and then one becomes all excited. Now I can see my lords, and now Krishna is blessing us with our older devotees who can do such service. Like I'm a fan of Devaki Nandan. What can I do? He is so expert in attracting Lakshmi Devi. He has some blessing. Maybe in a previous life he was a yogi somewhere and had done so much austerity, so that now this impossible Shakti is with him. And our Bhima is here, known as a hero of book distribution and inspiration to, at least in Europe, we hear him like this. So let us all seek the blessings of these Vaishnavas, and let us, whatever little differences are there, you are not alone in having difference. This is human nature, no problem. But how will you deal with these differences in a mature way? That is the question, which is a question of maturity. Mature people and devotees can do it better. So anyways, I'm so excited. I hope I will now find the switch, to the switch called the off switch, so that I stop, because you have many services to do. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol.
His Holiness Satyananda Swami Maharaj Ki.
What should we do now? Question. We have still time for question and answer. Devaki Nanda Prabhu, hopefully it's not too complicated a question. Yes. It's a very good question which Devaki Nandan asked. When we ask for blessings, in which way does this blessing come? Does it come through the word of the devotee that he will say, I bless you that you will be able to do such and such service very correctly. I will now give an answer which comes from my own reflection on the subject matter and my own understanding of what I have understood from Srila Prabhupada and our tradition. See, if you want blessings, you have to satisfy the other person. When the person is satisfied, that is, if there is a feeling in his heart that, oh, this is such a good person, and this feeling moves towards him, then this well-wishes of the Vaishnavas, which you have obtained by pleasing him, that will be his blessings. The words alone, well, sometimes they may be the blessing that he, but the Vaishnava will often be very, very humble and will not say, I bless you. But it is his feelings is important. See, also there is another possibility that the Vaishnava might feel, I better tell something now because otherwise I get in trouble from this person. I want to give you an example which I believe is making it very clear how it is important to please a devotee, and when he is pleased and he either wishes well or he says he may embrace us, this is how he will manifest his blessing, or he may just go to the deities and pray for us because he's pleased like this. This is the essential element. Sometimes, I do not know if you have this in Juhu, in our, sorry, Radha Rasa Vihari Mandir, but sometimes I have seen devotees who tried to get the blessing by touching the feet of the other devotee. And there was one situation, I believe it was in England, I heard about it only, but I could immediately recognize the situation. There was one devotee who wanted to get the blessing of another by touching his feet, but this other devotee didn't want that he touches his feet. So then this devotee who wanted the dust from this other devotee began to wrestle with him, imagine. And in the wrestling, he might have had a heavy and strong body. He threw this poor devotee from whose feet he wanted on the ground, and he actually broke his leg. He actually broke his leg. And at that time, when this devotee fell on the ground, finally the blessing-seeking devotee got the dust. But do you think he actually obtained a real blessing? No. He broke the person's leg, and this is usually a Vaishnav apparat committed with the body. It's a very strong apparat. It's not a light apparat. The mind is, when you do an apparat in the mind, it is not good, but it's not so good. I mean, it's bad enough, let us say it like this. When you do it with a word, it's worse, but when you actually hurt a devotee. So, what is inside? When we seek blessings, we really have to please the devotee. And when the devotee is pleased and satisfied, then he will give the blessings. That's why Krishna told the Pandavas, the bell will only ring, in other words, the sacrifice will only be successful when you have pleased a Vaishnava. You must obtain his pleasure. And that is not such a difficult thing. Vaishnavas are generally very kind devotees who see your sincerity. When you approach a Vaishnava with sincere feelings and say, Prabhu, please, I want to do this and I can't do this alone. You please give me your blessing. The Vaishnava will most probably say, oh, he's so humble and he wants my help. I will pray to Krishna. This will be my way. When someone asks me for a blessing, I feel very awkward. I'm not so powerful that I can go like that my wish will become a reality. Then when I see someone is seriously doing this, I go to the deities and pray for the person, because Krishna can give the blessing. That's my perspective. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
I was just hoping if everybody who has done the session, you can have a small kirtan from your mind.
A small kirtan, you wish. Yeah, let us see if there are other questions, and maybe at the end we can. I don't know. I have to ask my authorities if there's, because we have a schedule and from saints and spiritualists of other tradition than
yes.
our own Gaudiya.
Yes.
There are two. In answering this question, I would like to first of all say it's important for the Vaishnavas to read the Hare Krishna movement and you know our movement to respect other traditions and have sincere appreciation also for them. There is actually a very interesting song on this, and I believe because it is making a very important point, I would just like, it's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just like to read this to you. It's my personal conviction that it's very important for us as a movement to respect other traditions. I just met Rasaraj Prabhu, who is my Shiksha Guru in science preaching. Krishna Chaitra Prabhu, who is now a proper Oxford doctor, is and myself learned science from him. Yes, and we're speaking about Lord Ranganath and his mercy. And I felt it in the Ranganath temple how nice they are worshipping. And maybe it's Ramanuja Sampradaya, there might be some differences, but I felt it's very important for us to respect these and so on. I really hope that I can find this to you. It's really good. It's really worthwhile to just wait a little until it's oh Krishna. Oh Krishna. You know this, you look for something. Now Krishna has to, I will just make one last attempt. Oh Krishna. Yes, here it is. It comes in Gitavali. And it's a song. Why do you hate the processes of worshipping the Lord that are adopted by people of foreign countries? There are various methods of worshipping the Lord given in consideration of the place as well as the nature of the inhabitants of those places. Some people worship the Lord in an unpure manner. Some people worship the Lord on bended knees, and there are others who remain absorbed in worshiping Brahman while keeping their eyes closed. Some people worship the Lord while sitting in a yoga posture, And some people take pleasure in congregationally chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's us. Nevertheless, all of them are worshipping the treasure that is Krishna. Therefore, always remain as brothers in a friendly relationship and always practice devotional service to Lord Hari as long as you are alive and even after death. In direct response to your question, respect everyone and no, they are worshipping my Krishna in a different form, different understanding. But as far as seeking concrete blessings, those can help you the most who are having your understanding of Krishna, the understanding of your worship. That's where you look for blessings. Of course, in a superficial, let me say, in not such a deep way of looking blessings. In a general way, we can have the blessings of everyone. But if you want really to advance and you want to go forward on your own path, you need to go to those who are in your line. That's very important. In your sampradaya, your acharya. That's, you know, every milk may serve, breast milk, every breast milk may serve its purpose to nourish the children, but you need to go to your mother. When you go to another mother, that other mother might have eaten onion and garlic, huh? And you as a baby, you will die from this dose of onion and garlic. But another baby, no problem. So we have to go to our line and respect the milk which is available in other. It nourishes other people, but we are nourished by our line. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I'm feeling that this will be the last question of our Majati, and then we will close the lecture. Sometimes we are chastised by our Guru Maharaj or senior Vaishnavas, and I heard, you have to see, because I did not understand the last part. Is that a blessing in disguise, you said? Aha, uh-huh, we may feel hurt at the time. Yes, we may feel hurt at the time when we get the chastisement, says our Mataji, but maybe later we realize that it was to our own good. This is a very deep point, my dear Mataji, which our Mataji has put. Do you, now I will answer the question in a minute. Do you sometimes have the feeling when a Siddhi or Vaishnava chastises you, oh, he really understood everything wrong. He really got me wrong. Sometimes we may also feel like this in relationship to our Guru Maharaj. When I was there was one incident in my life. I'm very shy to reveal it in a public forum, and maybe this will go over the, you know, you don't know with these recording devices, maybe it's next day on internet. But I felt when I was young, the Prabhupada was a little that he chastised me, and I felt, But I meant something totally different. I felt like this. We are from Germany. We are very stubborn people. And then later I read this verse, Vidvan, I've written it down, Vidvan avidvan guru eva janardana. You understand? That Vidvan, if he has knowledge, or avidvan, if he has not the knowledge, the guru is certainly eva janardana. Krishna, in the sense that he is the representative of Lord Krishna. And as I said, I was very young in spiritual life and a little rebellious. I hope I have a little become a better disciple over the years, but when it happened, I was only 1 year old. It was also nothing so tragic. And so on. Then I got this verse. I said to myself, I have absolute faith in Prabhupada. I feel at this moment that he was a little heavy and he did not that something was misrepresented to him and he acted upon this information and so on. But I said, no, it's all right. It is good, and so on, and surrendered. Later I found this verse. The spiritual master is always right, vidvan or avidvan. And then I thought about this, and I could understand that Lord Krishna moves everything. Everything and everyone moves under the control of Krishna. No one can act independently. To understand this is Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, you might have heard this millions of times and you might not believe it. But it is really true. From a spiritual perspective, an absolute perspective, you only meet situations which are meant for you to learn and mature. Everything has its value, even though it's hard. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of the goldsmith. He says, the material world is like the anvil for the living entity. Do you understand what is an anvil? It's the metal thing. Suffering or misery is like the hammer, and the jiva is like the piece of gold which is brought into shape. So whatever you meet, even though it may appear by your immediate logic as something unjust, something bad, it is meant to bring you in a certain direction. It can be meant also to exhaust your karma. You had to suffer and you met this person because now you are in the temple, you meet a temple person and he does say something to you which you usually would have heard from Mr. Sharma, your bad mouth neighbor. I'm giving, I don't know, some name. Prabhupada said, and I know His Holiness Radhana Maharaj likes to quote that, never become angry on the agents of your own karma. That means those who bring you your own karma. If you learn this simple truth, and then when it gets intense for you, you turn to Krishna, then you can become an heir to the kingdom of God. Tatenu kampam susumikshamanam punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapuriya vidadam namaste sajivikta mukti pade sadayava. Someone who understands that everything which happens, or what the miseries which come my way, are due to my own past karma, and who simultaneously worships the Lord and does not stop his worship because he feels frustrated. This is what I mean, I've added this. Someone who continues his worship, he becomes the right heir to the kingdom of God. So when you are chastised, there are two levels here. An absolute level, you say, oh, it will have its value. But when you sense there is some injustice here, then you should ask other Vaishnavas, and maybe on a managerial level, there was even some miscalculation of the situation, and some correction is required. So you need to act on both levels. On just like in your spiritual life, when you practice spiritual life, you need the two levels. You need to have your constitutional level, chanting, and you need the conditional level, eat enough, sleep enough, and visit that room where you must be alone, called the bathroom. This is called the conditional level. So also in dealing in the world, you always have these two levels, and both must be kept alright. Yes, here's Devaki Nanda with one last point, but then we will close. This is a typical Devaki Nanda Prabhu question, who is a scholar who wishes to go into the detail. And it's a very, very valuable question, and I'm very grateful. In your example, Devaki Nanda asks, well, blessings, can we not get them from anywhere? I mean, I was sleepy, and this Prabhu helped me by his massage to be there. It could have also been a Muslim masseur. You know, maybe would a chance to sit in the temple. That may be a little unlikely, but you know, someone, just someone. Well, there is one principle in spiritual life, and that is that you can give what you yourself have. It's like this: if you would ask me now for some sweets, for instance, I have sweets at the moment in this bag from Radha Badama and Shida Mayapur. But if you would ask me maybe for pens, or I don't know, how could I give this to you if I don't carry the pens in my bag? It is really important to know what we what we want as blessings. If I want to have blessings to advance in my Krishna consciousness, I would most probably go to, not to a young bhakta with this type of blessing, I would go most probably to a more advanced devotee who is maybe not troubled. Or if I would ask for blessing to become free of lust, I would not go to the young person who is boiling with lust. I would intuitively feel to this young person, I could ask him for maybe other types of blessings, or you know, there are so many types of blessings, and we can certainly ask blessings like blessings of determination. Sometimes I feel that a very determined person, and I've met Christian monks, I have asked them, can you please help me to be determined? And this Christian monk told me one secret. He said, well, what I do to be determined, I think that everything I do for the pleasure of God. And I consider this a blessing, that let me try to do my activities as an offering for Krishna. But I couldn't ask him for Braj Prema, this Christian monk, that is for the type of love the inhabitants of Vrindavan share for Lord Krishna. So you have to know what type of blessings you wish, and then you go to a person. It's true, everyone can bless us with something which he has on his own path. And therefore we are respectful to all living entities. But if I wish to have a specific blessing, I must... I think the idea is clear. I will go to a place where I can get this very specific blessing. Hare Krishna. So, since the atmosphere is so nice, would you agree if we have... Is it alright if we have like 5 minutes of... I would suggest sitting down, Bhajan. Yes? It will be 5 German minutes. Don't worry. 5 minutes in India can mean a whole day. That is what I have learned in India about the relativity of time. But not really in an Einsteinian way, but in the way of, Indian time. Yes.